The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, watching us on PCTV Select on the web, and on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 here in Pittsfield. Welcome to the show. Sean Sear here with you this morning on a Thursday. It's Thursday, October 2nd already. Can you believe it? We're into October. Starting to feel like October if you're waking up this morning. You see maybe a couple little white patches on the ground, a little bit of frost out there maybe. Growing season officially over, I think. That's probably the way that works. But yeah, we had a great summer and still probably some really nice weather ahead, but we'll see about that. Today, a little chillier, making us feel like autumn for sure. Got a great show coming up for you this morning. We have folks from the Gladys Allen Brigham Center and Girls Inc. of the Berkshires. We have Kelly Marion, the CEO, and Abby Ellard, the Development and Communications Manager. Going to be talking about all kinds of stuff that happens at the Brigham Center and with Girls Inc. of the Berkshires, but specifically we're going to talk about the Party on the Patio, and that's a really big event that they have every year and a big fundraiser for the organization happening this weekend. So we'll talk to them about that and lots more. First, let's get to our weather forecast and see what's happening on that front, see what we've got over at least the next day or two. Here we go. Berkshire weather forecast. Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Frost advisory in effect until 8 a.m. EDT this morning. Today, widespread frost this morning. Sunny. Highs in the mid-60s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour this morning, becoming light and variable. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the upper 30s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, I did hear the temperatures are going to be bouncing back a little bit later on tomorrow and over the weekend. So, but you know, a little bit of cold weather isn't going to hurt us too much just yet. Although it's always a harbinger of things to come. I always think about it and say, oh, are we ready for this? Are we ready for the winter? I don't know. I just don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Enjoy it while you got it out there. It's a nice blue sky right now, and I'm seeing 37 degrees outside here in Pittsfield. All right. Welcome to the show. Kelly Marion, Abby Allard, good morning. Thanks for being here this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you on. I think this is going to be a fun show. I could just tell. There's energy in the room this morning.
I was thinking we should have planned some kind of a dance in unison.
Yeah.
I'm a car dancer, like with my kids and my grandkids, yeah. And we could have planned something, you know.
Yeah. 7:30, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We were already dancing to the opening music,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I got to get warmed up before I do stuff like that. Well, thanks for being here on the show this morning. And when I saw some announcements on the Party on the Patio, the big fundraiser to help Gladys Allen Brigham Center, I said, well, we're going to have to talk about that on Morning Drive. So here we are. Kelly, why don't you start us off and tell us it's the how many of these have there been? This is the 12th annual, I think I saw.
12th? 12th?
Yeah.
Yep. 12th annual.
It's a really great event. There's no hard sell on the center. It's just really coming together on a Sunday from 5 to 7. We're going to be at Proprietors this year. We held it for a few years at our board chair, Melissa Mazzio's restaurant with her family. Mm-hmm. And then had moved it to the Rusty Anchor for a few years with Scott, who was great.
Yep.
And we landed at Proprietors a couple of years ago and absolutely love the venue. Candy and her staff are great. And we're going to have live auction, silent auction, raffles, beer tasting, wine tasting, and just kind of have a really good time for a couple of hours. It's supposed to be a beautiful day.
Well, that's good.
So you will be able to party on the patio.
And literally, you do have a really nice patio there at the Proprietors. If anyone hasn't been there in the sound of my voice, you should probably check that out at some point. But it is a really great venue to have an event like this. Generally, how many people will be coming to this?
We usually have anywhere between about 95 to, I think at the top, we've had about 115, 120 people. We have 41 items for auction. Some of those will be live auction items and spirited out in Lenox. Mm. Donated the beer and the wine for us for the tastings. We have 8 different beers, 8 different wines. So it's usually pretty busy. Mm. Lots of milling about for people and a lot of really great things for them to bid on to help support the families that we work with at the center.
Yeah. What are the tastings like? Is that sort of an organized thing where people show up and then they go through each of the different wines and beers and sort of check out how that tastes and pairs up with food? I mean, what's it like?
Abby's recruited her family. They're volunteers.
Volunteers.
Volunteers. Yeah. Her husband Anthony will be there, and he's going to be doing the beer tastings. You know, little shot glasses full of them, so you can try the different ones. And then her sister Molly will be doing the wine tastings, and then the rest of us will just be encouraging people to buy raffle tickets and bid on all of our silent auction items because we got a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah. Molly comes with about 30 years of working in fine dining. So she does the wine. She does a great job. She describes everything. And my husband is there. and he can pour beers, and he's over the legal age. So he does a great job too.
Yeah. He does an outstanding job. My husband just comes as my eye candy on my side.
Well, that's okay. You got to know your role.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. He does.
When Anthony starts donating $400, $500 worth of items for auction, then he can stop pouring.
Jay enjoys a good cigar. So throughout the year, he collects all these different items through the different cigar companies he deals with. And we have this beautiful live auction cigar raffle or live auction item that has Davidoff Winston Churchill cigar set. It has a Camacho steel tabletop lighter that everybody's enjoying firing up in the office because it's amazing, the torch. It's got a set of, I think it has.
You want me to read your description?
Oh, let her read it because it sounds so good, right?
So it's a premium collection for the smoke connoisseur. Includes a Davidoff Winston Churchill smoke set, Camacho quad torch tabletop lighter, Upman wall bank, Monte Cristo cigar sampler, best cigar cutter, and to top it off, you can enjoy a glass of Sunset Meadows St. Croix bourbon barrel aged 2018 wine.
Well,
ta-da.
All right. I would imagine you have to be a cigar aficionado, but there are a significant number of those out there.
Yeah, I think it's more and more popular. Jay quit smoking, you know, decades ago, but enjoys to de-stress, and that's how he chooses to do it, which is okay with me.
Yeah.
On the deck, outside.
So we have the live auction, we have a silent auction. So the silent auction is a table, and it's one of those where you drop in tickets, you're buying tickets, that's how it's working?
So you write in. For the silent auction items, there's like a little list with blank spaces. And there's a starting bid for the items kind of based on their overall value. Mm-hmm. And then you go from that starting bid, and some of them you have to go up by $5. Some of them you are bigger items, you go up by $10. And as we go through the evening, you see that list just get longer and longer and longer and longer. And then I start, and I believe this happens to Kelly too, is people start walking up to us and being like, I really wanted that. So if you could make sure no one else signs up, and you just got to keep watching, keep bidding. But then I know when I observe the tables, I'll go back over to that person and be like, someone outbid you, so you might want to run
hustle,
back over.
Hustle, hustle. It's all for a good cause.
Right. You only got 20 more minutes. You might want to run.
And some of the other live auction, is that sort of going on at the same time the live auction is happening?
We usually do the live auction toward the later in the evening once the silent auction has closed. Mm. And the silent auction item is full of so many different. We've got raffle or gift certificates to different Berkshire County venues. Mm-hmm. The local cultural institutions are super supportive of us. Barrington Stage, the Colonial, the Berkshire Museum, Berkshire Botanical Gardens.
Yeah.
So really some great things from them. And then a lot of other items that are donated by our board members, or we have a great little basket that was donated from Laura Tierney from Hotel on North. Mm. So a really good mix of live auction items to walk around and scope out. And then we do have
for the last 6 years that I've been doing this, we have a great relationship with the Patriots and with the Boston Red Sox, who donate memorabilia that we're able to auction off as well. So if you're a big sports fan, New England sports fan, we do have some great stuff that they've given to us, some signed photos.
That's huge, right?
Yeah.
Because those are things, too, when you have an auction like that, that you can't really get them anywhere else. They're in such short supply. And if you're a big sports fan, or if you know a sports fan, you're maybe thinking about a gift for later on in the year, you know, you might want to think about that. Those are always great.
And I also want to shout out, because Ray Boudreau is on our board, that Jiminy Peak has been an amazing supporter. They do lift tickets for us. We have like a family pack for 13 Nights of Halloween, which goes on through October. And they've been donating that for probably since Ray's been on the board.
Pretty much. That's a strong arm there. Managed to get those items. And, you know, our board chair, Melissa Mazzio, obviously gets gift certificates for Mazzio's restaurant and then reaches out to the family and gets got a gift certificate from Mazzio's
Meats
this year. We also have a lot of great stuff. Alicia Powers, who is at the 413 Salon, does so much for the community, is also on our board. She usually donates a basket full of products from her salon, and I, you know, it's great. It's our board really comes together to support this event. It is a big fundraiser for us, and we have a lot of fun with some of the stuff that gets donated, for sure. Yeah,
it's so important to have a good supportive board for a nonprofit organization. You know, speaking from experience,
as you know,
you have to have that. It's also really important to have the support of the community, and and to have the small organizations, the companies, the nonprofit, the mom and pop shops, I guess I would say. Those are the ones that tend to support our local organizations the most, you know, with a few exceptions. But it's always nice to shout out to those folks for continuing to support organizations like the Gladys Allen Brigham Center.
And I would say another big one is Blue Q. Which I know they're huge supporters of a lot of the nonprofits. Every year they donate, I would say, about $200 worth of product that they let me like split up between things. And then they also donate bags to us when we're working with our families as a nice thing for people to take home. They've just been amazing all around.
And for people who aren't familiar with Blue Q, because the kind of product there is a very interesting thing, right?
Yes. I got, when I did my request to them for this year, they were so great. They're like, yeah, we've got you. And then about 20 minutes later, I got an email back that this is an adult event, right? Can there be
naughty words?
Yes, there can be naughty words. This is an adult event. So it is a 21 plus event because it's a wine and beer tasting. So I felt it was okay. Hopefully no one will be offended by what they say, but they're pretty cute and funny.
I liken them to, we just got tickets to Spamalot over at Proctor's and Monty Python, and I feel like it's kind of that Monty Python humor, right?
Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but we truly appreciate their support. We have tons of great sponsors. We have AWC Construction, Berkshire Bank, Berkshire Health Systems, Greylock Federal Credit Union is a great supporter of our events, Mullary Healthcare, who's right across the street from us, Acrisure Insurance, Kim Baker leads the charge for that, Jason Smiegel and his wife from Smiegel Roofing, the Pittsfield Co-op is a great supporter. We have a couple board members from there as well. Adelson and Company, Chill Zone Snow Cone Truck, which AWC Construction, his wife Jen, owns, and she brings it to the center at least once or twice a year for all the kids to have snow cones. It's amazing. The staff are the biggest kids there picking their flavors. Amazing. Hill Engineering, Hillcrest Educational Centers, McFarland, The Shed Man, Stonehouse Properties is a great supporter. Abby and her Berkshire Boxing Academy, which she now owns, which is truly awesome. A lot of support from the Berkshire County Sheriff's Department and Courtney and Hamill.
Wow. That's quite an impressive list, honestly.
Thank you.
So this is one of the major fundraisers for the year, right? This is probably some other ones throughout different times of the year, but this one sounds like it's a pretty major anchor for you.
We do two. This is one of our two big in-person events. So the Party on the Patio is always in the fall, and then in the spring we do the Ruth P. Baraski, She Knows Where She's Going Award, where we recognize the local woman for her achievements in the community around her profession, her service, and just her ability to be a positive role model for young women who are growing up here. And we also at that event give out $12,000 in scholarships to the local girls who are heading off to college, some of whom come from our Eureka program, which is a 5-year intensive STEM education program that is run by Lucy Schwartz, who's our Child, Youth, and Family Empowerment Director.
And so, it's a free 5-year STEM.
Free 5-year STEM.
Free for the girls that participate.
Yeah. So those are our two biggies in person. And then we have two sort of traditional drives that we do. One is our annual appeal, which helps to support and keep fees lower throughout the year. And then we do a campership appeal in the summer for the girls who attend Camp Stevenson at Wet'suwet'en on Anoda Lake, which we've owned since 1920-ish. We do a campership appeal to help scholarship a lot of the kids to keep them safe and in some fun recreation over the summer months rather than being just bored at home. Yeah. It helps to get kids out in the world, and especially out at the lake. It's a beautiful spot. We love our 50 acres out there.
We do.
Those kind of experiences are not replaceable either, right?
No,
as you're
no.
growing up, there's so many, I guess, inside experiences now that kids are limited to. And when you have an opportunity like that to spend some really valuable time outdoors in such a beautiful location as Camp Wet'suwet'en, it's really something to behold.
It truly is. We do every other year a Region 3 camp out with our Girls Inc. affiliates throughout the Northeast region. We go from Canada all the way down to Delaware, and they each bring usually a van load of girls up for a weekend. And some of those girls that we had come up from southern New Jersey and Philadelphia had never been to a lake or in the forest.
Wow.
And for us, you know, we live in the in the beautiful Berkshires, right? The bucolic area that we live in the foliage. And these girls had never seen anything like that. They've never slept outdoors in the cabins. So it truly is, you know, when you don't, you have that nature deficit, that's really a tough thing. And to be able to let young people explore and be out there is a really, really beautiful space.
Yeah.
They were very bad at sardines because they didn't want to go into the woods to hide for the sardines game. So they were like, we'll stay by the cabins. I'm like, well, you're going to get found. They're like, we'd rather get found. But they loved it. They, you know, we just had our annual conference for the whole Girls Inc. network and all the program directors and colleagues out in our other affiliates here in Region 3 were like, okay, when are we planning? Let's start in January. Like, we're going to do it again this year. We're like, yep, we got you. We'll set it up.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with folks from Gladys Ellen Brigham Community Center here in Pittsfield. We have Kelly Marion, the CEO, Abby Allard, the Development and Communications Manager, and we're talking about actually bringing it back around to the party on the patio, just to remind people that that is a fundraising event happening this weekend on Sunday, the 5th of October. I don't want to get to December yet.
Slow your roll,
yeah,
slow
yeah.
your
roll.
Oh, my.
Don't wait. It's coming much sooner than that. You don't need to wait.
The 5th of October, this Sunday, 5 to 7:30 p.m. And while we usually don't mention ticket prices here, if somebody wants to get those tickets, where would the best place be to do that?
The best place to get your tickets is online through our website, brighamcenter.org. If you log in, it's right on the top of the page. It says Party on the Patio 2025. And you click on that and the tickets are right at the top. And we've been, you know, working with changing ticket prices. So you'll see a variety of different prices for different levels and abilities. So that way anyone kind of no matter what would be able to enjoy the program that we put on when we have our auction. Yeah.
So once again, that's brighamcenter.org. For tickets to the Party on the Patio. So fun stuff, and proceeds are going to great programs. Kelly just mentioned a couple of them. There are a lot more, which we do want to get into a little bit as we go along. We'll circle back around to that a little later in the show. Let's bring up a couple of other things you've got going on. One thing you'd mentioned to me before the show was the Bright Horizons program. So tell us about that. It's connected with the Berkshire Regional Planning Center, but kind of bring me up to speed on that. What is that program?
We're working with Berkshire Regional Planning Commission, and it's the Bright Futures Club. It meets on Monday nights. They usually do sessions that are, I think, 8 or 10 weeks long. Mm-hmm. They meet from 5 to 7. They have dinner together. It's for young people who are 5 to 12, I think is the age range. It's run by Steph Quetty, who's awesome. And it's for children who are experiencing substance abuse or impact by substance abuse in their family. So a parent who's you know, suffering with addiction, or a parent who's in recovery from addiction, a parent who you've lost to addiction. We certainly have quite a few children in our community that experience that. And this is a way for them to come together and sort of deal with some of that trauma and bonding together. This next session that they're starting, they're working on a mural project. So we had a huge piece of plywood delivered yesterday. Everyone's like, why is there plywood in the lobby? Did something break? Did we break a window? I'm like, no, that's for the mural project for the Bright Futures Club. And they're going to work on it over, you know, this entire next session of their program. And be able to put it somewhere when it's finished here in the community. And it'll be curated by those children, which is amazing. And all part of that sort of healing process when you have a trauma-informed community, which more and more of the nonprofits have come together to make sure we're all in that sort of safe space for children.
It's an interesting concept, right? Because you think about there's a lot of attention on substance abuse in our community and looking to, you know, lower the number of fatalities from substance use disorder. We've had a lot of conversations about that here on this program. But we really don't talk too much about sort of that blast zone, right? That comes from that one person who has the issue, but then you've got everyone around that person. You've got loved ones, you've got family members, you've got friends, you know, everyone's impacted one way or another with that disease. So this is an interesting concept, right?
Yeah, it's a, I just think it's a great, really focused opportunity. And I was thrilled when they came to us and asked if we had space to sort of house this program and to work with them. And it's really awesome. We have one of our girls who's in our Girls Inc. program, in our after-school program. She's started in that program, and it's great because they also provide transportation home. So her grandma doesn't have to come back out and get her when she's already home with her brother. So even, you know, providing the transportation as part of it, they've really thought of everything in offering this program in this space. And it's convenient, too, because we are downtown on the corner of First and East. We have a secured facility, so it's a safe space.
Right.
We also, they're going to, I think, do some swimming this year. They're going to do maybe a performance in our theater. So I'm a true believer in that we have this beautiful 32,000 square foot space right on the corner of First and East Street. And if someone else does something better than us, then I'd much rather you have come do it in our building with us than us try to compete with something like that. I think going through COVID has taught us all that we all know where our wheelhouse is, and working together, we have far more success than working alone.
Right. So how long will this program go on for? Has it started already?
It starts Monday.
It's every Monday. Believe it started 2 weeks ago. And I'm usually there when they're working. I leave around 6 o'clock. So I hear, and it's the classroom nearest to my office. And then you just hear like kids laughing, and you hear Steph laughing, and Kamar, and they just sound like they're having the best time. And I believe it runs through the school year.
Yeah, I forgot. Kamar Talaferro is also a staff person who works with Steph on this program. Right. And they do dinner together before they do their activities. And the young people who are coming in for it, they're happy. They're like, I'm here for the Bright Futures. I'm here for Bright Futures. And I think that speaks in and of itself to how successful the program's going to be.
Is this a unique program to our area? Is this something that has started, or were there concepts of this in other places as well? How did that get started?
I'm not sure on that part.
I'm not sure.
We work with the Brigham Center works with Berkshire Regional Planning Commission as part of the Berkshire Youth Development Project, which is countywide. It's the Northern Berkshire Community Coalition, the Brigham Center, Berkshire Regional Planning, Railroad Street Youth Project, and then we have other partners like 18 Degrees that we also work with, and that's really focused on sort of middle and high school youth. And through that relationship with Andy Addison, who attends those meetings, and Noe Gonzalez, it was like, hey, can we maybe look at doing this program over at your space? And we were like, yeah, you can. So yeah, I'm always like, sure, we can.
Well, and it's hard, too, because you want funding to be available for things like this, right? And that's always a challenge. Reed, as we were talking about the party on the patio. But where's the funding come from for programs like this, especially collaborative things?
For them, I believe they have a grant that they applied for through the state of Massachusetts for substance abuse prevention that they would have applied for to run that program. And in the Berkshire Youth Development Project, we really aren't funded to do that work as a county. Mm-hmm. And as we're just collaborators who see the value in doing that work, we have the prevention needs assessment that we do for 8th graders, 10th graders, and 12th graders every other year. They've just, I think, published the results from the last round of prevention needs assessments. And just looking at what our young people need, building sort of those positive outcomes and trying to lower those risk factors, I think is what a lot of us are focused on doing. Mm-hmm. At the same time, helping, you know, our school-age children succeed in everyday life at school and, you know, building their life skills. And then our early education program where we have, you know, brand new babies all the way up till they head off to pre-kindergarten. Mm. We work now with the Pittsfield Public Schools mm-hmm. on a community partnership preschool initiative, which is funded through the state of Massachusetts. It's called CPPI. Working with Berkshire United Way as well, who helps to steward that work as the fiscal sponsor, bringing together the organizations that are working on that as well.
Yeah, and we just had folks from the Berkshire United Way on just last week or the week before talking about all the initiatives in their kickoff of their campaign as well. So it's all interconnected here in Berkshire County when it comes to that. And it's so important to have resources like this. That's one of the things I think it's very easy to forget. A lot of people drive by your facility on East Street, and I know a lot of people in the community are directly connected or have been touched by a program from the Gladys Allen Brigham Center or Girls Inc. In the past. My family certainly has as well.
I think I sent you a photo like a couple months ago.
I believe you did.
Do you have a photo of Ryan?
It was actually of Tori.
Tori too. Yeah.
And, Sarah found it in her old camp files. I was like, oh, I have to send this to Sean.
I've been there along with some other staff. Sarah's been there 26 years. Yeah. I've been there, I'm in my 37th year.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. And so now I have, you know, children of children that I raised in the organization, bringing their children in, and they go, oh, wow, you're still here. That's awesome. You know, you meant this to me, or I remember you did this for me, or, you know, I got my registered nursing license, or I, you know, completed this electrical program. I'm now an electrician. Mm-hmm. And so it's for us, that's what drives you to do this work, to see the positive outcomes every day.
Yeah.
This is not easy work to do every day. We deal with a lot of trauma, with a lot of whatever our children are going through and their families. And I think to see all those positives and hear that message is what drives you to do this every day. Yeah.
Are the most rewarding stories the ones where you had the biggest challenges and you saw them come in and you realize that, oh, this is going to be difficult. And then 10 years later, you realize that person's on a great path.
I think that just happened actually with one, a young woman who somebody ran into him and they were in the community and they were like, you know what? When I was with you all, I was horrible. I was so difficult to deal with. But do you know what? Now in my job, I learned so much stuff when I was in Girls Inc. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I argued every day on this or that with staff, but I did pay attention and I did listen. And down the road, 10 years down the road, it's like now I'm using those things you taught me about around leadership and communication and, you know, even economic literacy, how to balance a budget, how to get your own apartment, how to manage your finances as a young person. It was like, I had no idea back then. I'm like, this is so boring. I can't believe they're making me do this. And then it's like, oh, my God, I know how to do this, right?
It sinks in.
It does.
I think that's the thing. But you have to have the opportunity to be exposed to it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't appear. There, you have to have programs and available and kids sort of families engaged. And, you know, it isn't just a place to drop off your kids. It's like, no, what are you doing? You know, you're getting those life skills along the way, on each experience that you have.
Sure.
And I think that's part of why events like Party on the Patio are so important for us, as it says in everything we send out for it. The money that comes in from Party on the Patio rolls over and goes directly back into the classrooms. Mm-hmm. We don't hoard it. We don't hold on to it. It is meant to do exactly what we're saying. Anything we're raising through our sponsorships, through the live auction, through ticket sales, is going directly back into the classrooms. And the nice thing about Party on the Patio is it's the whole center. It's all six of our programs that get to touch on what we raise from this event. Versus Celebration is a Girls Inc. event. Our spring event. And so that does go roll back into Girls Inc., which helps to keep our Girls Inc. programs free or low cost or no cost. So it is really important to have that support, especially like our amazing sponsors that Kelly listed that really understand that this money is going directly back to supporting children and families who need it the most.
Yeah. We're speaking with folks today from the Gladys Allen Brigham Community Center here in Pittsfield. You're listening to the voices of Kelly Marion and Abby Allard, and we're coming up to that top of the hour break already, having a great time talking to them about the big event coming up this weekend, the Party on the Patio on Sunday, and then also many of the other programs that are run by the Brigham Center and the Girls Inc. program. We'll talk about more of those in the second half of the program when we come back after our break. But right now, this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll be back right after this. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
El Departamento de Salud de Pittsfield realiza mensualmente clínicas de salud gratuitas en el Centro Cristiano, los apartamentos Edward Arms, Capitol Square y la Iglesia Congregacional del Sur. Ofrecemos chequeo de signos vitales, revisión de medicamentos, evaluaciones médicas y proveemos información sobre los recursos disponibles en la comunidad. Para información, llamar al 413-499-9411.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure? Coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also, of course, watching us on PCTV Select and Access Pittsfield 1301. Listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Welcome to all of our listeners and viewers this morning of the show. So glad to have you here. Sean Sayre here with you again for the second half now. Here we are on October 2nd already, and we'll get back to our conversation with Kelly Marion and Abby Allard from Girls Inc. and the Gladys Allen Brigham Center. In just a moment, first, let's get to our weather forecast one more time and see, see what we have in store for us today. Here we go.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Frost advisory in effect until 8 a.m. EDT this morning. Today, widespread frost this morning. sunny. Highs in the mid-60s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour this morning, becoming light and variable. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the upper 30s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, there you go. Nice, bright, sunny day as I'm looking out the window this morning. A little chilly right now. Still says 37 on my thermometer. I don't know if it's really that cold or not. Maybe in the sun it's a little warmer. We did have a couple of little white patches out there this morning, and the growing season potentially over now. If you didn't cover your plants and your tomatoes and other things last night, you might be done for the season as well. We had a bumper crop this year. I don't know why we did, but of peppers, hot
nice.
Peppers. We had jalapenos and habaneros, and we just, I don't know why, that was the thing that grew for us this year. Usually it's the zucchinis. You know, you got so many zucchinis, you're trying to find, you lose friends because you're trying to give away all the zucchinis, and we didn't have that this year. We had a lot of peppers. So I don't know if we'll gain any friends by giving them peppers.
We rely heavily on our ECE director, Alyssa Goddard, who is a green thumb,
green
yep. hand,
yep.
and she lets us know, and she'll talk about it. And I'm like, I killed this aloe plant, but sure, keep telling me.
I have a plant,
yeah,
in my office.
Yeah, not my skill set either.
No.
No, definitely not. But I think it is. It must be. You must be born with it.
Yeah,
you have to, or raised to be able to know, because it's a skill. It's an art form.
It is
really,
sure.
being
sure.
able to do that.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
No. Nope. Not my cup of tea.
I can grow a lot of weeds.
Yeah.
A lot of, milkweed, really good at that.
Yeah.
Good for the butterflies.
So that's why all our noses have been running. Sean.
Sean and
Sean's
milkweed.
Sean's the problem.
That's typically the case, actually. So welcome back to the show, Kelly and Abby, and thanks for being here today. Let's talk more about the happenings at the Gladys Allen Brigham Community Center. An annual appeal coming up near the end of the year, another big opportunity to support the organization. Talk about that, and how long does it take to put something like that together?
It takes... The letter writing is I think the longest process. There's a lot of back and forth between Kelly and I in a good positive way. So I write up the letters and we try to do maybe two or three different kinds. I send them over to Kelly. She makes some suggestions. I look at her suggestions. I put them in and then I go, ooh, maybe. And then I send it back. And so it's about like a week and a half, 2 weeks of going back and forth with the letters till we find something that we think really is going to be meaningful and impactful for people. Then I am very fortunate to have our part-time office assistant, Carly Holmes, who is also Pittsfield's first artist in residence.
Woohoo, Carly.
Wow.
And donated an art piece to go be auctioned and party on the patio. Mm. But she helps with the folding, stuffing, putting the... So it really takes, I think, before we had her, and it was more of a team effort with me in the front office. And it would take us maybe about a week to a week and a half because we do everything in-house now.
Oh, wow.
Kelly was very generous and let us get a color printer so we didn't have to send out our printing anymore. So we do everything in-house. It does take about the full month. So I start in early November. We like them out right after Thanksgiving. So it takes me about the full month of November from start to finish to get it all together. And we send out to... quite a few people. I'm sure there's listeners that have received letters from us. And we have a bunch of really, really dedicated, great individual donors and business donors that have just supported us. You know, no questions, no complaints, just really bought into the mission and know what we're doing and trust what we're doing is benefiting the community as a whole. And it's been amazing. It's been great. We've had good years. We've had low years, you know, as the COVID and the economy changes, but it's very consistent around the same every year. And especially now as technology's gotten easier to use, you know, I'd send out about 800 to 900, you know, letters in the mail. And now I can add on to that about another 1,200 emails that go out. And then we do it on our social medias and things like that as well. And then there are some people that hold on to letters they got a couple of years ago. And they'll send it out with the appeal, but we'll be looking and be like, Does that say 2023 on it? We're like, we'll still take it. It still cashes. Yeah. It cashes.
Just sat there on someone's desk for a while.
Good.
And
it's all good. Yeah. It's all good.
So it's a really great appeal because, again, it benefits the whole center. It's unrestricted, so we're able to use it where it's needed most, whether it's needed most in buying new life jackets for our swim program for the kids, or it's needed to upgrade curriculum in our after-school program or bring in new curriculum. It helps to keep Girls Inc. programmings, again, no to low cost. It helps ECE get new supplies, and especially with this new partnership we have with Pittsfield Public Schools and the Berkshire United Way with the CPPI, you know, through that partnership, we have a classroom getting a lot of great things. And then now we'd be able to supplement and upgrade in the other classrooms because of things like the annual appeal. And it really makes a huge difference in what we're able to, what the amount of capacity we have.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest challenges that you face as far as, you know, keeping the facility up and working? I mean, it's a big, as you mentioned, how many thousand square feet facility?
It's 32,000 square feet, and then we have 50 acres at camp with a main building and all the outbuildings. You know, capital improvements, that it's a process. Yeah. We did a really big capital improvement campaign back in 2003, 2004 called the It's Time Capital Campaign.
It might be time again. I mean, it's 20 years ago, right?
Yeah. And so back then we did $4.1 million renovation to the main facility. And coming out of that, we've really focused on service contracts and the things we needed to maintain the building and keep it in really good shape. But we've 20 years out. So, you know, last year we replaced the majority of the fans for the HVAC unit on the roof, which, you know, cost thousands of dollars. We've replaced hot water tanks. We worked with Eversource and replaced our cogen plant because we do sell our excess power back to the grid. So instead of having $85,000 in electric bills, we have $30,000 in electric bill.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
And we really, you know, we run on a really tight budget. Our budget's just around $3 million. And the majority of our budget is our staffing. And we like to invest in our staff as much as we can. We have the Commonwealth Children's Commonwealth Cares Grant through the Department of Early Education and Care, which they call C3. It's been in the news quite a bit. And for us, that brings in over $500,000. And that money goes right back out to our staff in the form of bonuses. So last year, our full-time staff, if you take, you know, the average staff works 2,080 hours, they ended up with $9 more an hour in their paychecks throughout the year.
And so that'll make the difference between keeping staff and losing staff, right? In a lot of ways.
And with the economy and the changes that have taken place, the cost of food, the cost of housing, the cost of insurance, all of those things going up, it's a way that we can make sure our staff stay afloat and don't fall behind. You know, we also work with Greylock Federal Credit Union and the Community Empowerment Center with Cindy Shogreamer and her crew, who are amazing doing financial literacy education. We refer a lot of people over there. And then they also have a safety net loan program where if we have a staff person whose car breaks down or they need to fill their oil tank, we're able to work with Greylock to get them a safety net loan that then gets paid back out of their paycheck over time. And it's a lower interest loan. And those are just amazing things that are available here in the community through some of our partners that we work with.
Yeah, we're lucky to have those connections here in this community. And, you know, I did a lot of radio shows through COVID and after COVID. And the thing that I heard a lot was, well, you know, we're Berkshire County. We know how to work together. We're going to pull together and get through this. That's what I heard over and over and over. And that spirit really never went away,
no,
I feel like, right?
No, I think it definitely said we, you know, we have two people on our facility staff for that whole, our whole facility, our pool, and then the whole camp property. So one of the things that we rely heavily on with our volunteers, we have, you know, AWC volunteer, AWC construction volunteers, Adams Community Bank, Berkshire Bank, the Pittsfield Cooperative Bank, Berkshire Money Management. They help us to open camp every year. They, you know, haul out all the kayaks. They rake out all the areas around the buildings. They clean all of the insides of all the cabins. They help set everything up and get us ready to roll. So it's not just about the, you know, your treasure. We also value your time as a volunteer. And one of the things Abby can talk about too is our Discovery Leadership Program and looking for some mentors.
Let's talk about
that. I do want to shout out specifically, because I told him to listen, Sergeant Bruce Kruskowski, who works for the Berkshire County Sheriff's Department, and he oversees the community service that the inmates are able to do. and they are, you know, amazing. We had him do it 1 year, and then he was like, did you put in the request? Did you put in the request? And now it's like, I'm at camp. I'm like, oh, okay.
He's our, like, our volunteer superintendent of the property. He really does keep an eye on things for us, and they also do stuff in the center. We were closed for a long weekend. Mm. They came in, painted our entire theater.
Wow.
Red and gray in the Girls Inc. colors, because that's the primary space for our girls after school. And they're just amazing.
They're amazing. They're amazing. They're amazing.
And thank them in our annual report this year as well, because you know, when we need something, they're always there for us.
They
and
are.
I appreciate Sheriff Bowler allowing us to use that kind of support, not just us, but other organizations also.
And then still donating and supporting and sponsoring events. So, you know, the Sheriff's Department has been a great and amazing partner for us. But yeah, let me talk about Discovery Leadership.
Yes.
This is a Girls Inc. program. It is free. We work with young women ages from about 8 to 9 up to 12. And it runs every other Thursday during the school year. The girls work on a variety of things. So Discovery Leadership is about giving girls the toolkit to become strong, confident leaders. So, you know, from as small of a something as just working on a little bit of public speaking and speaking to your peers, to doing self-reliancy, self-discovery, really finding out who you are as a person. And then the most fun part, I think, about it, on top of these amazing activities that Alyssa Holmes, who's been running the program for us for the last four or five years, who is a former employee, full-time employee. And then when she left, she was like, no, I still need to be doing, I need to be here. So she's been continuing with the program. And she and some of our mentor volunteers, they get there at 4 o'clock. They take the girls out of the ABC program, and some of our girls that come from out of program, they go into the kitchen and they all make a dinner together.
Really?
So all, and it's like hands on.
Wow.
You and the difference from, you know, tonight actually is their very first meeting for the year. The difference from what they're going to make tonight to what they're going to make in June, just the skill building that you can, you know, you have those tangible, those physical things where you can see this growth in this process in these young women, where it's going to be a little sloppy tonight. It's going to be a little disorganized. I'm going to walk by the kitchen and go, as I just see flour and like eggs and just an egg
like,
rolling around.
Have a good dinner. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. But then you see them and they're clean. And, you know, by January, they're, you know, you have one girl following the other one, cleaning up all the dust behind her and all the flour behind her. You have, you know, they're planning. You're doing this. You're doing. And it's just amazing to see that progression. And I think having that opportunity to cook together not only is building that community for them and really, but it's also giving them those micro opportunities for leadership and micro opportunities to step up and support.
And if these are 8 to 12 year
old,
you know, the concept of leadership probably doesn't even exist in their head yet, right? They don't realize that they're going to be capable of doing that. And this might be one of their first experiences with that.
And then they culminate with their through discovery with a service project. So they have to choose. They get to work together. It's a girl-led service project. Alyssa's there to help guide. I'm there to help make connections if they need it. If they're like, we want to do this, we don't know who to talk to. I'm like, let me look, roll through the Rolodex. Here's your three people. Email them, Alyssa. And they choose a service project that's really meaningful and impactful. They've done for animals. They've done for our elderly population. They've helped and supported our MLK Day of Service project that we have done the last 2 years. This will be the third year that we do just something, an all-day project, whether it's we've done a free clothing store. We did a free book and toy store and resource fair. This year, our Eureka girls have decided they want to do a large scale sanitary and hygiene product boxing that they'd be able to give and support to other nonprofits, to anyone in the unhoused population living in any of the shelters, Elizabeth Freeman Center. So these really nice baskets and boxes that they'll put together and decorate. And they see it as this like large scale, you know, Ford Motor Company on like conveyor belts. And I was like, yes, we are going to make those dreams come true. As I'm looking at Lucy and Alyssa, like, we're going to make this dream come true. I'll figure it out. Don't worry.
Where did the concepts and the ideas come from for where, how they decide what they're going to do for that service?
So we give them the parameter of day, time, and then the girls kind of, the goal is to get them, you know, I think what makes Girls Inc. so amazing is the idea of girl-led in a girl-centric environment. Mm-hmm. So the girls really lead these projects, and really it's their ideas that, you know, as the adults in the program and as the adults there with them, we're just trying to help craft it because, you know, young people are dreamers and they're amazing. And you hear what they say and you're just like, oh, you are going to make the world such a good place. But right now we have $200. So, you know,
isn't that always the case?
Yeah. Sure, and that's the adult's job, is to keep it in reality. But the girls really do plan it start to finish once they have those parameters in there and have a really good understanding. And we have a handful of great mentors that we work with in Discovery. You know, a former employee who's, you know, she started when she worked for us, and then she's kept with it, doing it.
Her daughter also grew up in the program. Yeah. We're talking about PM Nicely.
Wow.
Her daughter, Kendra, who's here local and works here in the community, also had been a Girls Inc. girl. Pam had been on our board at one point, came back years later, worked for us for a bit, and then ventured on to different stuff, but held on to being a volunteer and a mentor for the Discovery program, which I think speaks to the impact it had for her family and the impact she wants to have on young women as they grow up as well.
And they love Miss Pammy.
Yes, they do.
Love her.
And again, great to have those opportunities,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
I mean, that's the thing. It's one thing to get a group of girls together. They may not have that guidance and that crafting, as Abby, as you said. But once they've sort of got that pathway, they can take it from there. Right?
They do. And Discovery has been amazing. A lot of our great partners in financial institutions and in the arts institutions have, you know, donated their time to us to be mentors. We'd love to have maybe a handful more. We're looking for some young women just starting in their careers that can see that transitional phases of like you know, the girls into the program, you're in school now. Here are some younger women that have just started their life, just started their career. How did they get to there? And then from there, how do you get to where some of our more mature mentors are there? And how do you get to that point? So you see that transition, and it's just really inspiring for the girls to have that. And there's lots of research that just says, you know, girls who have intergenerational programming do better in school, more likely to graduate college, more likely to go on and build dreams for themselves and achieve those dreams and reach their highest potential. Mm-hmm. So the more we can have this intergenerational work between our young girls that are, you know, primary school age, middle school age, and high school age with our adult women in the community that are really doing a lot to give back or haven't yet figured out how they want to give back, this is a great opportunity to support young girls and women to be strong, smart, and bold.
It's important for them to have those role models and to be able to see themselves in that, right? To be
100%.
Able to, and maybe to unlock that in the brain to say, oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
That could be me.
And being
that's interesting to me.
And being a Discovery mentor is a great sort of gateway to volunteering with a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. If you're not ready to be on a board and make that bigger commitment to be able to be a Discovery mentor, you're just committing to the two nights a month that they're going to be meeting for that couple of hours and, you know, supporting the girls throughout the school year. Mm-hmm. So and then helping with their service project in January. I think it's a great opportunity for, you know, people who are just into the workforce but are looking for that next step but not ready to fully commit to coming on a board, which is a much larger responsibility as you help to steward an organization.
So if there are people listening right now and think that they might be a good candidate for volunteering, they have that time a couple times a month to be able to contribute, how would they get in touch with you to sort of sign up for that?
Ideally, you email Alyssa Holmes, E-L-Y-S-S-A, the letter H, Alyssa H, at brighamcenter.org. If that's too much, you can email news, much easier, N-E-W-S, at brighamcenter.org, and I can forward that on to Alyssa.
Great. hopefully people are listening and they identify themselves as maybe someone who can help out with that effort.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. That would be amazing. We also love readers coming in. If you're the commitment of, you know, twice a month is too much, but you still want to do something for us or with us, you know, the littles love having readers come in. Special guests, if you have time, talent, you know, any volunteerism, we're always open to. And, you know, I've had people email and they weren't sure what to do. And we worked together, figured it out. They came once or they came a handful of times or they were like, we want to volunteer at the events so we can go to the events. I was like, okay, you can volunteer, but I put you to work.
Yeah, she makes you work.
Nothing wrong with that.
For sure.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking to folks from the Gladys Allen Brigham Community Center, Kelly Marion, the CEO, and Abby Allard, the Development and Communications Manager. And we only got a few minutes, believe it or not, left here. We do want to get in talking about the Women of Impact series,
yes,
which we're a little bit familiar with
here at
PCTV and WTBR FM and had some really great interactions. Give us a lowdown on that program.
So the Women of Impact series is still happening, is part of our Eureka program. It is twofold. The first part is the young women in our Eureka program were able to select six women of impact in the Berkshires. They chose three that were in the business world, and then they chose three that were impactful directly to them. So we did our first three, which were the women in the business world. It was amazing.
So
we
these had are television interviews.
Television right? interviews mm-hmm. where the girls wrote the questions, the girls ran the production booth.
Right here.
Right mm-hmm. here at PCTV. and they did a fantastic job. You know, there when we first, they wanted this project. And then when we first started talking about it, I was like, well, someone's going to have to interview. There was crickets. No one, there was no volunteers. So Lucy, our coordinator, was like, you know, and Lucy is also part of like our behavioral management team. So she has that magic way with young people to be like coaxing them out of that shell. And we were able to get, you know, really great interviews. The girls wrote the questions. In the production booth, they're running it. They interviewed Darlene Rodowitz from CEO, mm-hmm. president of Berkshire Health Systems. They interviewed Lori Kiley from Berkshire Bank, mm-hmm. Regional president, Berkshire Bank.
I think Foundation.
She's a Foundation president.
And then we also interviewed former mayor,
Linda Claremont.
Thank you. I didn't want to say Linda Claremont. And those are three really amazing interviews. Yeah. And then it hit summer and it was a little harder to schedule the rest of the interviews because in the summer month, Eureka kind of takes off and they do all of their mm-hmm. STEM programming. So we'll kick it back up here in the fall and then have a nice premiere. And we were able to do this program because of the Gilson Family Foundation, which was a big supporter in it, and then also Milltown Foundation, which mm-hmm. is the first time for us working with them, really supported the project and made it that we could work with PCTV, have all these training opportunities. The first couple months, the girls were literally just training on how to use all the equipment. And now we have a set of girls that are all trained on the equipment. We just recruited a new cohort this past summer. So our older girls are now going to train our younger girls. And we're hoping we can do this kind of encyclical because we are members here.
That's right, yes, you are.
And know that we have the ability to rent and use all the things, but we need that training on the equipment. Right. So now the girls are thinking about what else can we do with this training? What else? Well,
that's perfect that they're thinking about what else they can do.
Yes.
And we're so happy to have the program here and working with you and doing that. And it's rewarding, as we were talking about earlier, to see, you know, people that first shy about it and not sure if they want to be the interviewer, not sure if they mm-hmm. want to use the equipment. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, no, we're doing this. We right. know how to do mm-hmm. this. You know, we've done this before. And that's the confidence, right? That's the as you're learning new experiences and you're getting into it, you're like, OK, I can see myself doing that. And that's the same kind of thing we were just talking about.
Well, and I think it was so special too, having Darlene and Lori and Linda, who are just very kind, patient mm-hmm, women. Mm-hmm. And for the girls to see,
they know the assignment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the young ladies see these very strong, powerful women in this county, and they're just talking to them like people. They're like, "You're doing great." And they have those beautiful calm because they're so used to speaking. They have those nice calm voices. So you're doing great. This is, and they're asking them questions, and then the girls are answering, and then all of a sudden we have to be on the mic like, "Hey, No, you ask her. You ask her because they're just so warm and you know, they have families of their own and they're just, and it's really at the, what I've seen is it's, these are going to be really fun for people.
It's going to be a great reveal when it comes out and
100%.
We'll have a debut. I'm sure we'll show it on PCTV and we'll have an event where people can come out and watch it. So we're looking forward to that. The Women of Impact series, believe it or not, at the end of the program already, I just want to remind people the party on the patio, the big fundraiser for the Gladys Allen Brigham Community Center, Sunday, October 5th, 5 to 7:30 p.m. at Proprietor's Lodge over on Wabeek Road. You can get tickets at
BrighamCenter.org.
Got it. All right. Kelly,
thank
Marianne,
you.
And Abby Auer, thank you so much for being here. It's been great talking to you this morning.
Have a great day, everybody.
All right. Thanks. And we will be back again tomorrow with another episode of Live Morning Drive. Tune in then. See ya. Yeah.